A few weeks ago, I preached a message on faith. And you might remember that the gist of that message was that inadvertently, as believers, we have created an image of God, of how God acts, who God is, that isn't entirely biblical. We have an image that we have created of God where God's primary purpose is to satisfy our needs. That He is there to do what we want, sometimes when we want it. And if we have enough faith, if we just have enough faith, God will make everything go smoothly. He will satisfy you. He will heal you. He will provide for all your needs. You name it. We created this God where we have advertised Him as a give all. He'll give everything. Of course, there are plenty of times when that is exactly what He does. It is true. Often God does all of the above, much to our amazement. But to say that is how God always works, I think that's when we run into a problem. And that's why I say we have created God in our own image. We remember the wonderful chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I mentioned that 22 times it says in that chapter that by faith, incredible things happened. Incredible obstacles were overcome. Incredible things were accomplished by faith. And yes, there were lots and lots that happened because of faith. Many were saved. But as we also looked at later on in Hebrews chapter 11, that many others didn't have it quite so easy. And the point was that faith doesn't simply believe that God will take care of the problem. Faith is looking squarely into the eyes of the problem and believing, as Job did, even though He slay me, yet I will trust in Him. That is faith without sight. That's the kind of faith we are called to. Not a wishful thinking, oh, God is going to do everything. It's going to be, all my problems will be solved and you'll live happily ever after. You won't have a problem in the world. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Even though He slay me, Job 13:15, yet I will trust in Him. Faith without sight. Not a pampered, everything is beautiful faith, but faith when there is no light at the end of the tunnel. That's faith. Well, this morning I'd like for us to look at an incident that occurred in the life of Jesus in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And I call it an incident instead of a story because, you know, we grow up with this unspoken rule that stories are made up. You know, a story of this, the story of that. And it's more than a story. It's a real life incident, an occurrence, a historical event. And so I want us to read this incident as recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And I believe it will help us to understand what Jesus means when He says we need to have faith without sight. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." An incredible incident in the lives of Jesus and his disciples. After a busy day, Jesus told his disciples that it was time to get in the boat and go over to the other side of the lake. And in verse 36, it said, "Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat." Interesting to note that there came a time when Jesus had to leave the crowd behind. It goes to show that Jesus wasn't here for a popularity contest. He wasn't trying to win votes. He wasn't kissing babies, you know. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And the fact that, you know, they took Jesus just as he was tends to indicate to me that it was a kind of a spur of the moment decision. It wasn't really planned. There was no preparation. It was just as he was. And nor were they alone. It says that there were other boats. Maybe this was the first century's version of rush hour traffic, you know, and everybody gets into their boats and heads home, goes across to the other side. I don't know. But verse 37 says that in the process of crossing the lake, that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And then it says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine how it is possible to sleep in a boat that is about to sink with waves crashing over the sides. There was one occasion in my life when my family and I and our dog were in our boat on Lake Bennett. We had the most marvelous experience going to the very end of the lake, Bennett, a little old town of Bennett, where the Chilkoot Trail ends. Water was calm. It was beautiful. When we were there, the winds picked up. And on our way back, it was awful. I mean, it was the worst I'd ever been in or ever want to be in a boat. We all knew that the shore was that way, not far to our right. We were half expecting us to get swamped. We were. It was not fun. And I say that to say that no one was sleeping during that ordeal. It was impossible to sleep in a boat like that. There was lots of praying, no sleeping. And so here it is. Jesus is sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples wake him up, and they say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Well, Jesus gets up. He rebukes the wind. He stops the waves. It becomes completely calm. Eerily calm. And it happened so fast that the disciples are terrified. They're not terrified any longer by the weather or even the change in the weather. What brought amazement, terror in their heart was the realization that there's somebody in this boat who can command the winds and the waves to obey him. And I think this was a new realization for them, that Jesus not only healed the sick and that sort of thing, but Even the waves. What kind of man is this? Even the wind, he has command over that. And so after Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith, they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. It's kind of a terrifying statement. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And as I said earlier, the first thing that really stands out in this incident is that Jesus was sleeping. Now, I know Jesus was tired. And I know he experienced all the struggles and the frailties of humanity that you and I would struggle with. But I can't imagine how he slept. I can't. Not unless he was sleeping intentionally. Not unless he used some of his God-given authority or whatever, I don't know how to put it, that he said to himself, I'm going to sleep. Because it's not natural. It's not human. It's not normal to sleep in a storm like that. And I really come to believe that Jesus very intentionally slept. And if that's true, if Jesus intentionally went to sleep, what that's saying is that Jesus intentionally led his disciples into a storm. Think about that. It's not a very comfortable thought, really, that Jesus intentionally led the disciples into a storm. He intentionally let the disciples struggle. Jesus intentionally let them nearly drown. This isn't the Jesus that we created. We created a Jesus who is there to save us, to rescue us, to do what we want, to respond to us, to. But the Jesus of the Bible intentionally let the people closest to him suffer. He intentionally didn't come to the rescue, at least not initially. Kind of reminds me of the time when Lazarus was sick. You might remember I read that incident last week from John chapter 11. Lazarus was sick and Mary and Martha had called Jesus to come. They were desperate for Jesus to come. This wasn't just a social visit that they were hoping for. They were desperate. They sent out word. He wasn't that far away. He could have come. What did Jesus do? He intentionally delayed so long that Lazarus died. He delayed for so long that Mary and Martha felt loss. They wept. They were in pain. They were distraught. And when Jesus finally did show up, the people wondered out loud in verse 37, John 11, 37. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Well, yeah, he could have. Why didn't he? And as the incident unfolded, Jesus did bring Lazarus back to life, much to everyone's amazement. And yet for 4 days, Mary and Martha suffered. They grieved. They questioned why. They hurt. There was no light at the end of their tunnel. And coming back here on the lake, it almost seems like Jesus was doing the same sort of thing. The disciples thought that they were going to die. They even accused Jesus of not caring. To be honest, how many of us have felt like that at some point or another? It's hard not to do that. When someone, maybe yourself, or someone close to you is hurting, is suffering, whether it's physical or emotional or some other form, and there's many forms, when someone is going through incredible or unimaginable hardship, it's not hard to conclude, or to wonder at least, if God doesn't care. Don't you care if we drown? You might have said that yourself to God. God, don't you care if I drown in my pain, in my whatever, fill in the blank? And sometimes, not always, sometimes, God even puts us in that painful situation. I'm not suggesting that God always does that, but sometimes he allows people to walk into a storm, or at the very least seems to be sleeping through your storm. And I believe that's the point of this incident. This incident isn't teaching us that if we have faith, all our storms will be calmed. If you have faith, everything will go smoothly. That's not true. We know it's not true because we see evidence to that, to the contrary, both in Scripture and in personal experience. We know that every storm is not calmed. We know that every thorn is not removed. If you had a chance to read the testimony of a friend of mine on the back of last week's bulletin, you would see his testimony of how God didn't remove the thorn in his life. And it's still there. But he says, God's grace was sufficient, is sufficient, even in his suffering. And I believe that's the point of this miracle. It's to show us that God's grace, God's presence alone, is sufficient. Even if they were to drown. Nobody likes to drown, I'm sure. I mean, think about it. Even if they were to drown, who better to drown with than with Jesus at your side? I mean, come on, you know? But the point of the miracle is to show us that Jesus is God. Jesus is King over all creation. He is King over the disciples. He is King over nature. Jesus is King over all. And whether we weather a storm or not, we find comfort in knowing that Jesus is the Lord. Faith isn't believing that Jesus will calm the storm, because there are storms that Jesus doesn't calm. Faith is believing that Jesus is God, even in the storm. Whether he calms the storm or whether he allows the storm to unleash all of its horrendous power, God is still present And because of that fact, we do not need to despair. Yes, easier said than done, but true nevertheless. The disciples wondered, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Well, we have the privilege of looking back and knowing who this is. And yet, even so, we still find it difficult to put our trust in him during difficult times. Nobody cherishes suffering. Jesus never promised to make it easy. He never promised to take away all the thorns. The truth of the matter is that God very intentionally put thorns there in the first place. And you might wonder, why in the world would God do that? Why would God create thorns? Well, Lord willing, we'll look at that question next week. But for now, let us remember that we can have faith even in the storm. God never said it would be easy. In fact, he said just the opposite, that we would have to take up our cross daily and follow him. But we can take that cross with confidence, with absolute certainty, knowing that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And that even in the storm, perhaps especially in the storm, we are in his hands. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you are dealing with a situation in your life that is beyond your grasp, beyond your control, beyond your ability, and you might be wondering or have wondered, where is God? Why isn't he doing something? I want to encourage you to have faith. Not necessarily that God will wave his hand and say the word and fix everything, although he might do that. And we are called to pray for that. It's not like we can't pray for that. But having faith that even if I go down with this ship, that Jesus is with me and I am in his hands. That is the faith we are called to. That is the faith that the people in Hebrews chapter 11 were commended for, especially towards the end of that chapter. That is having faith without sight. When we see how it's all working out, when the light is at the end of the tunnel, oh, it's easy. We don't need faith there. Faith without sight. That's a challenge. It's a lot harder than what we think it is. But by God's grace, that is what we are called to. So I want to encourage you this morning, if there is an area in your life where it is particularly a challenge and you want to pray, and you know, there was one fellow that came to Jesus. He had faith, but he also had doubt. He struggled, and he asked Jesus to help me. And if you're there, you have faith, but you also struggle, I want to encourage you to bring that to the Lord and bring it to your church family. That's what we're here for, to encourage one another, to be a blessing to one another, to hold each other up before the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do come before you this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the times when we have created an image of you that is not what is truly reflected in the scriptures. If we have created an image of you where you do everything to make life smooth And Father, forgive us for portraying that. We do know, Lord God, that all things do work together for the good of those who love you. We do know, Lord God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We know, Lord God, that you are with us and that you would carry us. But Lord, that doesn't mean that everything would go smoothly. And this morning, if there is someone here who is going through a difficult storm in their life, whether it's deeply personal or known by others, I pray, Father God, that you would just help us, help them to truly put their faith in you, to trust in you, Lord God, even in the midst of that storm. And Lord, may we be a source of encouragement to one another. For Lord, we do get weak. It does become hard. And Father, I pray that this would be a place, this church would be a place where people can find strength in you and encouragement from one another. And Lord, may your grace and peace and presence go with us, for we know that it is when you are with us that we can even walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Lord God, I pray that you would give us that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.